Okay, Peter, and then a couple more quick ones, and we'll try to wrap things up.
Jody brought up the issue of dishonesty, and I sort of squandered my time at the microphone trying to get an answer, a simple answer to a simple question, which is the issue of why is the easement called the buffer easement? So I'll answer that question. It's called buffer easement because it's a buffer for a port. The port is the 800-pound gorilla in the corner of the room. Time is closing out right now, so there is such a myriad of information, disinformation, confusion. Just by way of introduction, Jonathan introduced me originally as a reporter. And yes, I was a reporter for the now defunct Waltham Independent, and for some 16 years I covered this story. I go back into the early 90s, where there was a great deal of dishonesty. And I left that game. But I've been following this very closely, and I have seen a pattern of dishonesty, and I really think it needs to be said tonight. I think, and I don't know if Diane was trying to, I got the sense she was trying to limit the whole issue about the port, that that isn't our charge, and we're only dealing with the Joint Use Planning Committee, a spin-off of SIPI, the Sears Island Planning Initiative. Believe me, I've been to these 30-odd meetings or whatever they were. I spent a good part of my life at them. And in any case, the issues need to be brought forward. I think we need more of these meetings so that certain things don't get passed off. Jody just brought up the issue of Wetlands Mitigation Bank, which is an entire new issue, which, by the way, has only come to the fore in March of this year, nearly a year after the consensus agreement was signed. Now, the issue of mitigation investigations was somehow inserted into the, after the penultimate draft was put in the final draft. This is sometime between April 12th and April 27th, 2007. All of a sudden, the seed is planted for this mitigation bank. And I might point out that that and the 4F issue, and I won't confuse people, probably half of you have never heard of it, but that's an entirely another issue that came forward in March. The consensus agreement, the last sentence of the consensus agreement, and even though I have it here, I'll save time by paraphrasing it, it says that if there are substantive changes in what's before us, then the SIPI steering committee people are free to leave the process. And I would sincerely urge them to think very much about that. Now, I know some of you are honest proponents for a port, and I have to say that, you know, in some ways I have a warm feeling for wolves and when they get among the sheep. Certainly the DOT and some of the port proponents have been very aggressive in this way. And furthermore, they've been up front, which is a lot more than I can say for the so-called conservationists on this SIPI process. The fact is that early on in the SIPI process, the public turned out in droves, and they made themselves very clear that they wanted the entire island preserved. Sure, there was maybe 10-15% had different ideas in mind. But the overwhelming feeling of the people of Maine who turned up at those meetings was preserve this island in its entirety. There is nothing of this size in public hands, a totally wild island on the entire eastern seaboard. And meanwhile, people are filling their heads with, oh, how can we use this? Can we put up a Coke machine at the entrance and maybe charge it? This or that, there's been an absolutely crass attitude about the use of this very precious island, and it's not being recognized. The public having had their say, they got essentially a quiet, thank you very much for your input. And then the professionals, the salary people, the people whose career is going to meetings, they took over. And they went on and on, month after month, until the public got worn out, had to go to their jobs, and then, as things were sort of a stalemate, in late 2006, The Department of Conservation, which was brought in as cover because the DOT was regarded in such a negative fashion, at Department of Conservation headquarters in Augusta, secret meetings were held at which the substantive material in this consensus agreement were laid out. And they called for a port on essentially a third of the island. It's more like 40% of the island. And the rest was going to be conservation. And those were secret meetings that that land committee worked out. And I stand by those charges. I crashed one of those meetings as a member of the press. And I will give credit to John Melrose and Maria Fuentes and some of those people. They said, oh, we have no problem with the press being here. Well, they were very upfront about what they wanted. But the conservationists threw up their hands and said, oh, dear, and went home. I find this been disgraceful behavior, particularly among the land trusters who have their own imperial designs on the island. In any case, there is a lot more to be known about this and about the subterfuges and underhandedness that has gone along with this entire process. And I urge you folks to call for more such meetings because we have only scratched the surface. Thank you.